Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Tamron Lenses and Looking Glass Photo in Berkeley. They have the perfect lens for you. Today's guest is Dan Brown from the San Jose Mercury News. Dan, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to talk about your book, The Men and Moments That Made the San Francisco Giants the Big 50. And I want to talk about the current Giants first of all, though. These Giants this year so far kind of up and down. I mean, I don't know if we expected them to be way out in front at this point. A lot of people were picking the Giants to win the division, but it's very tight in the division right now early in the season. And the Giants, like the other teams, I guess, in the West, seem to be kind of on a roller coaster ride. What have you thought about it?
Yeah, right. Nobody in the NL West has really come blazing out of the gates like they have in other divisions, right? The Cubs are off to a torrid start, and the Nationals are off to a torrid start, and the National League West is kind of slogging along. I think I'm among the people who thought the Giants would be the favorites in the NL West because of that, adding Cueto, adding Samardzija to an already formidable staff. But that back end of the rotation, PV and Kane, that's holding them back right now. And they got to figure it out, or those pitchers need to figure it out, because that's their Achilles heel right now, where 2 days a week you're having a rough go of it.
Yeah, I mean, as we're talking right here, I just saw Jake Peavy give up a two-run homer. I mean, he's really struggling. Matt Cain, yeah, he's struggling as well. But Bruce Bochy seems to be the kind of guy, so far anyway. He's very loyal. We know that. But he's very patient, especially this year. It seems like more than even other years, he's patient with his pitchers, not only as far as keeping them in the rotation, but also keeping them in the game. We've seen situations early in this season where he could have pinched hit for the pitcher, even in the game on Tuesday with Jeff Samardzija. And then same thing with Cueto in a recent outing, where he could have pinched hit for him, but he didn't. He likes to keep his guys in there to stay late in the game. Is that something that you've noticed, maybe a little more this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been an organizational philosophy, right? Giants are really, really, I think they tend to gravitate towards veteran players. And I think they show an extra amount of patience with the veteran players. I'm looking right now. PV's updated ERA, as we talk, is 9.38.
Oh, man.
Right? 9.38. And we're May now. These aren't just April numbers.
Right.
So, these guys, in fairness to Bochy and to Sabian, who also really sticks with these veteran guys, they tend to figure things out. I would have more faith right now in Kane than in PV, because I think Kane's stuff has been better, and I think he's had some stretches early in games where he looks kind of like his old self, and I don't know, I can't explain it why he kind of unravels at different points, but his stuff is there, and he's still working his way back from injury. He's kind of rounding into form, trying to find that rhythm. PV, I don't know about, because he's had some rough goes before the Giants acquired him in the first place. He was having a terrible stretch with the Boston Red Sox, so they're both smart guys. They're both masters at their craft in terms of being thinking pitchers. So I don't know how much deeper into May, though, they can stand to go with this long leash.
We'll have more with Dan Brown from the San Jose Mercury News right after this. Hey, Giants fans, whether you're taking pictures of Little Leaguers or the pros, Tamron Lenses and Looking Glass Photo have the perfect lens for you. The award-winning Tamron 16-300mm all-in-one zoom is more versatile than your basic kit lens. With amazing Tamron quality and image stabilization, you'll never need to switch lenses again, whether they are sliding into home or making a spectacular catch at the wall. Your Tamron lens will catch them all. Tamron has lenses for all of your photographic needs, and you can get your Tamron lens at Looking Glass Photo in Berkeley. Contact them at www.lookingglassphoto.com. We've got Tim Lincecum, who's going to do a showcase on Friday. You wonder if the Giants take a closer look at him than they might have if he had that showcase, let's say, during spring training. I mean, they've got some pitchers in the minor leagues if they do want to make a change, especially Clayton Blackburn is a guy who, you know, seems to be on the cusp of being in the major leagues. But do you think the Giants take a serious look at Lincecum, or, you know, maybe they wouldn't have before because of this situation now?
Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe. I'd be curious in what kind of role Lincecum comes back in, whether he's a full-fledged starter as he aspires to be, or if he's a guy who becomes a long reliever, or even, you know, pardon the pun, a short guy in the bullpen, because he hasn't been good for a while. I mean, last year he had his ups and downs, but his last really dominant year, the last time he had an ERA under 3, was 2011. So it's been a long, long go for this guy. Now, I talked to a trainer who kind of really understands these injuries. He said it's really plausible that once Lincecum's hip is fixed and he's healed, there's no reason he can't come back and perform at a high level again. This isn't a shoulder. It's not an elbow. You know, he gets a lot of leg drive in terms of velocity, but that surgery that he had is something a pitcher can recover from. So this showcase, I think, is big for a lot of teams looking for an arm. If he's any, I mean, he's still a young guy, right? He's 32, I think.
I think you're right, yeah.
So if he's got anything left, even if it's just an inning or two out of the pen, might be worth a flyer for somebody. You know, he's so weird, right? We haven't seen an athlete like him before. So making predictions or making evaluations on a guy who kind of has never fit the mold is a little tough to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see him come back to the Giants, and it seems like there might be an opening now where there wasn't before. But the two pitchers they picked up in the offseason certainly have been great. I mean, let's start with Jeff Samardzija, who pitched really well in the game on Tuesday. He had a funny situation that you wrote about in a story that came out today where he broke his bat over his knee. He was frustrated about striking out. I mean, why does he care so much about hitting? I don't know, but you compared it. You said, oh, another former football player, because he was a great wide receiver at Notre Dame, breaking his bat over his knee, you know, brings back memories to Bo Jackson. I hadn't thought about that for a second there, but you know what? That's true. Bo is so good at breaking the bat over his knee.
Yeah, that was actually my man, Andy Baggerly, my teammate at the Mercury News, who wrote that, and it was a great comparison, Bo Jackson. And then he also remembered Chili Davis back in the day did it for the Giants, who would swing out and almost in one motion just snap that bat over his knee. I think that shows you more than anything Samardzija's mental side, his football mentality, his competitiveness on the mound. This guy goes full bore all the time, really with an attacking football mentality, and it's something he prides himself on. And the catchers, remember Samardzija played for the A's briefly. I remember talking to Stephen Vogt saying, you know, this guy wants to attack every hitter. There's no pitching around a guy. There's no finessing a guy. It's really an aggressive mentality. And I think, you know, remember last year, Samardzija got smacked around a little bit. He had a rough season with the Chicago White Sox. I think he was a big disappointment there. But on the day he signed with the Giants, I was out there at that first press conference, and he said, look, we discovered something really late in the season about I was tipping my pitches. Now, he didn't say what it was or what he was giving away, but you know, I think all season long he might have given away whether a fastball was coming next or whether the curveball was coming next, and they didn't detect it till late. And in his last, I think, two starts after they made that observation, he pitched great. And I think what we're seeing at times this year is a continuation of that, a guy who's always had the stuff, a guy who's always had the mentality, just kind of learn how to pitch and to learn that little thing like, hey, don't tip your pitches. And it's made a huge difference. Buster Posey said after the game yesterday that he couldn't remember catching a pitcher with that kind of stuff from inning one through late in the game.
Yeah, it's, you know, now you can see why the Giants spent $90 million on him. And sometimes a pitcher doesn't know that he's tipping his pitches, and then he finds that out. And I think the adjustment, too, in his mechanics, because he's doing that twist that I don't know that he ever did that before. And you see pitchers like Samardzija and Cueto changing in the middle of their career and, you know, kind of evolving. And I know you did a story before the season there in the magazine that came out for the San Jose Mercury News doing the twist about Cueto, but it seems like Samardzija also is doing a version of that. You know, do you think he did that because he's teammates with Cueto?
Maybe. I mean, they both talk about it like it's kind of by feel, right? I mean, the whole the Warren Spahn line was hitting his timing and pitching is disrupting the timing. And Cueto has invented all kinds of new ways to disrupt that timing. And this story I did that you referred to in the, before the season was everybody recall compares the way Cueto's been throwing to Louis Tiant. So I called Louis Tiant and said, what do you think of Cueto's delivery? And he said, I think he should do it more.
Yeah.
You know, he said he's just kind of scratching the surface in terms of what he can do to confuse hitters and keep them off balance. And he said it's, you know, people think about the timing and the mystery, but he said when you make a twist like that, what you're doing is hiding the ball a lot longer for the hitters. It's harder for them to pick up. It's harder for them to get a read on what's coming. And Cueto, Bochy is the guy who marvels at this. Whatever the delivery is, he's really consistent with the release point and his control. He doesn't get crazy. He doesn't really let the ball fly anywhere. His control is really, really good. And I don't think you can do this kind of thing when you're, you know, 20, 21. But at this stage of Cueto's career, he's got enough else going for him in terms of knowing how to pitch that he can pull this style off.
Yeah, it really is unique when you think about the fact that he's not doing the Louis Tiant twist every time. He's doing all these different moves and these different deliveries. And to keep the same release point, or at least to have good control with maybe different release points, I mean, that says something about his athletic ability. And he did have some struggles when he was with the Kansas City Royals. But then, as you pointed out in that story I was reading back at the beginning of the season, Salvador Perez, the catcher with the Royals, realized that his target was too high. They made an adjustment there, and then that helped.
All right. Isn't it crazy how a little thing can make that big a difference? I think that Salvador Perez is such a big guy, you know, so it's hard for him to set up low. But after he really had some rough starts, after Cueto really had some rough starts, they got together with the pitching coach, with Perez, and talked it out, and Perez found a way to set the target a little lower, and from then on he was much better. And you know, he had some great postseason starts for the World Series champ. So quite an interesting cat. I mean, he tries not to explain his philosophy too much. I think he really, really enjoys making hitters guess. He's clearly having a blast on the mound. That's part of what makes him fun to watch, is not only is he kind of an artist in what he does, but he's having more fun than anybody. So he's been kind of a welcome addition just in terms of, you know, Lincecum was that guy back in the day where not only was he good, but he was entertaining.
Yeah.
Cueto's that guy now.
I think it was Mike Kruko who pointed out that Buster Posey doesn't know which delivery he's going to get. I thought that he did. I thought that was part of it. Like, you call fastball outside, quick pitch, you know, or rocking chair or whatever it is. But apparently this is a mystery to Posey when he puts down the sign. He doesn't know which delivery he's going to get. That makes it really tough.
Yeah, to their credit, I mean, there's been no growing pains. I think Buster has really, from the start, you don't see him getting crossed up. You don't see him having to run out there and do all those conferences on the mound about getting things straight. They just kind of roll with it. And I think during spring training, they had a lot of conversations about how it's going to work and what Cueto wants out of a catcher, and it's been no adjustment period. They hit the ground running, and Posey's kind of been that way with whatever pitcher comes his way. I think throwers love throwing to him because he sets a great target. But I think both guys, Cueto and Posey, are really, really high-end when it comes to reading hitters' swings. So they'll make the mid-game adjustments based on what they're seeing at-bat on different guys. And I think being on the same page and on that front has been huge.
We'll continue the conversation with Dan Brown from the San Jose Mercury News in just a moment. The Bay Area is a playground for all levels of cyclists, and the best bicycle store around is Breaking Away Bicycles in Marin. Established in 2005, Breaking Away Bicycles was built on a passion for getting people outside. Donna started the shop after 19 years managing Angel Island, watching kids and adults enjoy riding around the beautiful landscape. She left the corporate world to help more folks get on bikes. Rich joined the team and dedicated his life to being constantly covered in grease. He'll get you rolling no matter what. So stop by Breaking Away Bikes in the heart of Ross at 7 Ross Common, or check them out on the web, www.breakingawaybikes.com. A little reminder, each week during the season, we'll be giving away a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. All you have to do is ask a question for one of our guests, and if your question is chosen, you'll receive a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. To send your questions in, email us at thesportsvirus@gmail.com or on Facebook, thesportsvirus.com page, and please like us while you're there. Now back to the conversation with Dan Brown from the San Jose Mercury News. Let's talk about your book. It's super exciting. It's just coming out, The Men and Moments That Made the San Francisco Giants the Big 50. And I understand that, you know, really the impetus for putting this book together was your grandmother, and she was a big Willie McCovey fan from what I saw or, you know, read in one of the synopsis about your book. So tell us about your grandmother and, you know, love of McCovey by both her and you.
Yeah, my grandmother was listening on the radio when McCovey made his debut in 1959 by going 4-for-4 against Robin Roberts in one of the great debuts in Major League history. And she never got tired of telling the story. And, you know, when I was 8 and started liking baseball, I never got sick of hearing the story. Because in 1978, Willie McCovey was still playing. And I couldn't believe that my Willie McCovey was the same as her Willie McCovey from 1979. And it just kind of spanned the generations. And I think a lot of baseball fans have that same experience, right? You're kind of connected through the family tree by these shared memories and shared experiences and shared love of baseball, whether it's the Giants or anybody else. And being able to learn about McCovey and, you know, reliving that very first at-bat always stayed with me. So the book is kind of about that. Like, hey, if you want to know about the Giants, if you want to understand the generations of what it's been like to be a Giants fan, here are the things you need to know. And for most of my life, you know, I don't know how old you are, but I grew up in the 70s and 80s where there was none of this every other year stuff.
Right? Yeah, me too. No, I'm in my 50s, right? So yeah, I'm with
okay.
you. Yeah,
the division title in 1971 and the division title in 1987. So that if you're going to rank the 50 greatest things, it didn't change too much. But in the last, since about 2010, it's changed a lot. So it was kind of fun to take this historical Giants of McCovey and Mays and Cepeda and work in the new generation of Posey, Bumgarner, Tim Lincecum in these three World Series.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you, because I know you have Willie Mays ranked number one on your list there, you know, the Big 50, as you call it. 2010 Giants, Barry Bonds, Willie McCovey, Juan Marichal, pretty much the no-brainers there for the top five. Where do the newer guys rank in your listing there in the pantheon of great Giants? Buster Posey, Tim Lincecum, where do you have them?
Yeah, it's tough, right, because you're dealing with a moving target a little bit. I mean,
yeah.
A guy like Brandon Crawford is number 50 because of what he's accomplished, but he could move a lot higher. He could be the greatest shortstop in San Francisco history.
Sure.
You know, 5 years from now when we've had more time to look at, you know, his incredible defense, his clutch hitting, his importance to these championship teams. Posey's already number 6. A catcher, you know, he's the greatest catcher in San Francisco history. He's been the guy, you know, the heart of 3 World Series championship teams. And really, I mean, life has been different since Buster Posey arrived. And some of this stuff is not, you know, these rankings are based on performance, and some of them are based on where players sit in the hearts of San Francisco fans. And I think Buster Posey is going to be one of the most beloved players, you know, in baseball history, and he could be a statue guy outside AT&T Park one day. You know, guys I struggle with a little bit, because Matt Cain I have really high, because I think of what he meant to those championship teams, and now he goes out and kind of lays an egg early in the season and makes that highlight ranking right. look bad. But, you know, it's the moments that have really changed over the past few years, because so much of Giants history before Posey and company, even their biggest moments were disappointments. 1962, McCovey lines out to Bobby Richardson to end the World Series. You know, 1989, the Earthquake World Series. 1993, when the Giants won all those games and still didn't make the playoffs. You know, 2002, they made, you know, that crushing defeat in Game 6 of the World Series.
Right.
You know, all these things are really, in a way, kind of the highest peak for the franchise, but they always end in shattered dreams. So those are tough to rank, too, because they matter, but they matter in weird ways now that they have some trophies to show around, too.
And what about Lincecum? He's got a couple of Cy Young Awards, a couple of no-hitters. I mean, you know, that was something that you didn't see at all for so many years, no-hitters and Cy Young Awards.
Yeah, Lincecum is number 8 in the book. Those Cy Young Awards, he's just, he's the kind of guy who people will talk about from generations from now. Somebody's grandmother will be telling them about Tim Lincecum and watching the wind-ups and his no-hitters and his just incredible charisma and persona. You know, such a little guy getting such big performances has been thrilling, and I think he's, you know, after Marichal, he might be the most important pitcher in Giants franchise history. So he is very, very high in the book, in part because of the circus he brought to town whenever he pitched.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch him. You know, since you mentioned Willie McCovey, I was a big Willie McCovey fan as well. In fact, I always tell this story. One time after a game, I was with my buddies, and you know, we were probably 16, 17 years old. So we had a car, we had the driver's license. We decided to follow Willie McCovey after the game. Turned out, I mean, I guess he just didn't take the team bus and went to the airport. So we're following him, and he's going to the airport. So he gets out of his car, we get out of ours, and go, okay, what do we do now? We're not going to ask him for an autograph. You know, we stalked Willie McCovey to the airport. You know, we liked him so much, we just wanted to see where's he going?
Right. Just to be part of his world for a little bit.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you're talking about with this book. It's just, it's more than just baseball and numbers. It's just your affection for these players and what they meant to you at whatever point it was in your life.
Right, and that's like, you know, Sandoval ranks highly in the book because, you know, in the all-time Giants charts, there are other players who have more hits and more home runs. But, you know, when you do what he did in October, and when you do it with thousands of panda hats in the stands, he's got a special place in this team's history. You know, he is an October legend, and the three home runs against the Tigers in the 2012 World Series, his performance, you know, in 2014 when he had kind of a mediocre regular season, then was Pablo again when the October lights came on. You know, he has struggled since leaving the franchise, and the opinion of him has swayed. But for those Octobers in San Francisco, he was a legend.
You really have to enjoy players when they're at their peak for what it is, because you never know how quickly a player can drop down. You mentioned Kane, you mentioned Lincecum, you know, being hurt, and you hope that he can come back. And now Pablo, I think it's sad that it could happen that quickly for him. I mean, I hope he comes through the surgery and everything, but to sign that big of a deal and then it just doesn't work out, I mean, that's definitely, it's disappointing. I don't take any any kind of positive out of it being a Giants person. I don't think anybody with the Giants would. You still want them to do well.
Yeah, it's a reminder that some of these careers, even from their peak, can go down really quickly. And it's not just Pablo, you know, who takes a lot of flack for being overweight, but injuries catch up to guys. Rob Nen, fantastic in 2002, was one of the great Giants relievers of all time. Pitched through an injury because the team was trying to get to the World Series and paid the price with essentially the end of his career. He never made it back from that injury. Will Clark looked like a Hall of Famer. Injuries caught up to him, but he was probably the brightest light of the 80s when he really burst onto the scene and like helped change the culture. And after so much losing through most of the 70s and early 80s, I mean, he had Hall of Fame written all over him with just that swing alone. So it can turn quickly, and you have to enjoy these guys while you can.
Well, I imagine the book was a lot of work. I can imagine that, you know, it's satisfying as well. Thanks so much for the time, Dan. And, you know, are you going to write more books, like, you know, a book a year now? Are we going to expect that from you?
Not for a while, no.
Well, Dan, thanks so much again, and look forward to seeing you at the ballpark.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
That's Dan Brown from the San Jose Mercury News. Want to thank him for joining us. And remember to pick up his book, The Men and Moments That Made the San Francisco Giants the Big 50. Our next podcast coming up on Sunday, Mother's Day, as the Giants take on the Colorado Rockies. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.